very, very attentively, would you give me your attention? Jacob is dying. He is speaking about his sons and giving a blessing and a parting word to his sons. Through the dim eyes, he looks out the window and sees a hunter. He likens that hunter or those hunters to life. A hunter gets up in the wee hours of the morning. He's active and spry and hopeful and lively, excited as he looks toward the day. He comes in the evening weary and tired and dirty and cold. But there's a certain joy and contentment. He's not as active as he was in the morning. He's not as spry as he was in the morning. He's not as enthusiastic or as lively as he was in the morning. But there's a certain contentment as he takes the spoil. And the hunters divide the spoil. Here's a quail for you, and here's a pheasant for you, and on, the spoil is divided. And begins to distribute the spoil. And this is language, of course, that all can understand. And this is the scripture, the passage of scripture, most on my mind in recent days. We have just had 5 graduation services. Our kindergarten, our junior high, our high school, our City Baptist High School, that's for bus kids, our college. We just had 5. This is the passage that's been on my mind. At our high school graduation, as the young people came across to get their diplomas, this passage went through my mind again and again and again. In the morning, he shall devour the prey, and at night, he shall divide the spoil. There was a day many years ago when I was in the morning of my life. I was licensed to preach at the age of 19. I preached my first sermon 37 years ago. I've been pastoring for 35 years this October. And like any preacher, I entered in those early days with all the zeal, enthusiasm that a preacher could have. I'm not young anymore. I'll be quite frank with you. I really don't feel as old as I am. But I know I'm not young anymore. I know that it is coming toward the evening time of my life. Now hold it. It's not 11 o'clock at night yet. Let's say it's about 6:01. But I know that. The day of my life has been long enough where I can look back and remember the morning. As I went out to get the prey, as I got up with zeal and vigor, enthusiasm, with life and hope and action to go forward to hunt. And now I'm having the time of my life as I devour the prey, as I share the spoil. I used to travel a lot with Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and Dr. John Rice when I was 29, 30, and 31, 32. And we'd go preach somewhere, and after the service, folks would come up and we'd sign Bibles. And then after all was shaking all the hands, sign all the Bible. A crowd of folks would gather around Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the old warrior. A crowd would gather around Dr. John Rice. And I was just a kid preacher, and I'd be in the corner waiting for them to get through. Dr. Bob's alumni, graduates of the college, and preacher boys of Dr. Bob be around him, and those that Dr. Rice had influenced over a lifetime. And now I'm 55 years old, and I just go around the country rejoicing, dividing the spoil everywhere I go. And I love it. That's what we did when our high school graduation, well, we could go last Friday night. We gathered around, divided the spoil. We've been here now 23 years, many of us. And many of you longer than that. And we just gathered around and And we've been hunting. And there was a time 23 years ago when I was 32 years of age when I came here. And you were young and our children were young and little ones and now they're grown. And yet last week ago Friday night, we gathered around to divide the spoil as teachers and parents and youth workers and school administrators and pastors and all who've had some little part. That's what commencement is. It's when moms and dads and Sunday school teachers and Christian workers and pastors all gather around to divide the spoil as we see the fruit of our labors. As I looked and saw those students in the high school graduating class this year of Hammond Baptist High School, I remembered that night when Dave was just a junior high boy, no, high school boy. And he and I went out late one night to the Calumet Township to examine an old, dilapidated, what did the Hammond Times call it? An abandoned building. Not a single window in that old high school building was intact. Every window was broken. And filthy words and garbage and refuse and everything in that building. I can still see Dave's eyes sparkling. He said, "Dad, can we have our own basketball team if we get to school?" And I said, "Yes, son." He said, "Dad," he said, "will we have all Christian teachers?" And I said, "Yes, son." Remember the night that I took a bid, a sealed bid over to the Calumet High School and sat out there with the school board and placed the bid for that building and that property, a bid of $35,000. And they were getting to open the bid and they said, which is the highest bid? And they said, "We only have one bid." And I said, "That means I get it." And I remember the day all this went through my mind. I was watching the students here. And remember the time that we raised the money. I think it was $65,000 in the Sunday school assembly with all the adults present to buy the building and remodel the old building out there. I remember the first time I went to a basketball game out there. I cried. I couldn't take it. I mean, I thought, now here's a Christian school. And our kids won't have to be second-class citizens because they won't go mixed bathing and because they won't dance and because they won't smoke. Our kids won't have to be second-rate citizens. We can have prayers before basketball games and soul winning along with our basketball team. And I recall what a joy and thrill it was. I thought with all of that as I looked at the kids graduating class. I remembered the land in Sheriff Hill. I think, not mistaken, I'm not sure, but we found this property in Sheriff. Hey, Mr. Baldwin, you told us about that, didn't you? That's right. And the deacons drove out there and saw a wilderness. You wouldn't believe what that thing was like. And I remember how that we, in 6 months' time, we built streets and laid sewers and put in the phone lines are put in and the water, all of that. In 6 months' time, we opened at Baptist City. And I remembered meeting with Mr. Walker. I thought about this the other night. Mr. Walker was vice president of this bank over here. Who's your bank? And we had to have $750,000. We had to borrow $750,000, had to have it to finish Baptist City. And so I said to Mr. Walker, "Could we have it?" He said, "I'm sorry, the bank can't let you have it." And I said, "Man, we got to have $750,000. He said, "No way." I said, "Look, give me a half a day to talk to you." He said, "Well, it won't do any good." I said, "I don't care. Give me a half a day. Give me a one half day of your time." We met over here in your office, Elaine. It was then a conference room. And we met for a half a day. And I did nothing but tell him about our church. I preached to him for 4 hours about our church. He sat there. He was a congregation of one. And I paced the floor. And bless God, after 4 hours, we got the $750,000 and he joined our church. And that good man who went to heaven not long ago, we don't appreciate him like we should. That good man stayed beside us. I thought about all of that. And I thought about how many times at the end of the year I've held the bills, and I honestly didn't know how we're going to pay him. 1 year, $69,000. And I thought, how can we pay it? How in the world can we pay it? And I thought about all the times that nobody knew but me, and we had to have the money. And I thought about those times as I looked at our kids, and then I realized that those were the days we're going forth to devour the prey. That was the morning time, in the early morning with all the action. And then they started passing out diplomas. Charisse Anderson came by to get her diploma, one of the first ones. And she said, I love you, preacher. And I said, it's worth it all. Just for that one, I love you. I mean, that's worth it all. And that's what we're doing in the last few days. We've been just gathering around to divide the spoil. And I felt like we had to have a service like this sometime soon when I could just say, blessed be God. I know some of our kids turned out bad. And I know sometimes we're frustrated. And I know our hearts are broken. But you will not find in all this world as many good teenagers as you'll find in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And so, in the morning time, we devoured the prey. And at night, we divided the spoil. Did you sit in your pew with justifiable pride when Wayne Cowling stood here and brought our high school commencement? Did you sit there and remember those days when we prayed that God would bring him back to himself? Did you sit here, remember those days when Wayne was living in sin, and as he told us in the graduation exercise, his mama put his shoes before her and claimed the scripture, how beautiful the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace, and made his shoes an altar, and her tears filled his shoes as she prayed for months and months and months for God to bring her boy back to himself and make him a preacher. Did you thrill like I did as we divided the spoil? Were you like I when John Vaprizan stood here? Did you remember as I remember those days of his growing up in the church? Did you recall those teen years? Did you enjoy the dividing of the spoil? Let me say, don't let this season pass. And by the way, don't say, oh, for the house we had some turn out bad. But bless God, we had some turn out good too. And we've been dividing the spoil. And I thought of this verse, in the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. It's the only verse I could think about, Brother John. We had the City Baptist High School graduation. I cannot tell you. That man right there probably knows Richard Clare as much as anybody. But I cannot tell you how hard it's been for me to keep the doors of that Bus Kid High School open. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the school on the way down to close its doors. Because we cannot pay the bills. Those poor bus kids have no money, and most of their parents don't have a dime, and they're helpless unless somebody helps them. You will never do a better thing in your life than to support one of those bus kids in school next year. I cannot tell you how many times I've gone to the door of my office and unopened the door and gone out to the car to go down and close the doors. And then I'd go down and see some of those kids, those bus kids, and I can't do it. I can't tell you how many times I've had those bills on the desk in my office, and I've said, oh, my God, what can we do? Most people, they see a few little poor kids for the first time, and boy, they buy them clothes and buy them food. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about day after day and year after year keeping the burden for the same people who are needing. Then one day, Brother Kirk, one of the young girls graduating this year from City Baptist, one of the bus kids, she came to my office, and I didn't know her. And she said, I've come from my senior appointment. I've never seen a more poised young lady in my life. I've never seen a more gracious, charming young lady in my life. And I, honestly, I thought she was one of our college girls. Or one of our Hammond Baptist High School drive-in crowd girls. She sat there with all the charm. Listen. There's not a public school in America knows how to turn out kids like that. She sat there, and I said, what year? And she said, I'm a senior. She sat there lovely and poised and charming. And she said, I'm a senior at City Baptist High School. I know my mouth dropped open 3 inches. I couldn't believe it. That's not what little bus kids are supposed to look like. They're supposed to have snotty noses. They're supposed to have dirty shoes and dirty hair and filthy clothes, but there she sat, a little girl reared in a home of poverty and sin, but somebody loved her. And I thought of the scripture, in the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. I feel sorry for everybody that was not at the graduation of City Baptist High School. I feel sorry for you. Save my life. It's beyond my comprehension why anybody wants to miss a blessing like that. When they started playing Pomp and Circumstances? Circumstances. And down the aisle came not many of them, just a few kids. But those kids happy, and they cheer like Hiles Anderson College cheers. I mean a spontaneous cheer. I mean the excitement and the thrill. And I thought as I looked at them, many times I've picked up thousands of dollars of bills. And I can't take it out of the church budget. And I couldn't take it out of the college or the high school. And I couldn't do it. And those bus kids. And I thought of this verse. In the morning he shall devour the prey. And at night he shall divide the spoil. I'll be honest with you. I'm just about wrung out. I mean, I've had just about all the tears I can shed. And I've just about rejoiced. My rejoicers about pooped. I've said praise God till God's tired of hearing me. And all of a sudden, hundreds of people for whom you've given your life and invested your life. And all of a sudden you see the prey, the spoil coming in, you divide the spoil. And it's this Friday night. As I looked at these two sections here, packed with seniors getting their degrees, 280 people getting their degrees, I couldn't believe what I saw. I remember the night I went out to the Capuchin Seminary out there, what's now Hiles Anderson College campus in South there, with the fellow, they called him Father somebody, and so he's sitting out there smoking a cigarette and with his house shoes on, and late at night, and I walked in and I said, sir, I'd like to buy your campus. I understand you don't have many students. I need 47. He said, it's not for sale, but he said, if it were for sale, the last folks we'd sell it to would be the Baptist. And I said, you're right. I said, the last folks you're going to sell it to will be the Baptist. He showed me to the door. And I remembered, as I saw that crowd of faces, I remember those nights I prayed. Walked on around that campus without my shoes and claimed every piece of ground for God. I remember signing a promise, a piece of paper to buy the thing, pay them $2.5 million within 18 months and didn't have a dime. I mean, those Catholics have known how much money we had. Folks think we're rich. You know, just because I own the home Al Gomez lives in, folks think we're rich. And that poor fellow, he'd have said Hail Mary for a year and a half. He'd know what I knew. And I thought about Wells Walker again. That good man who said, preacher, we got to have that campus. And I remembered how he'd come to my office and we'd get on our knees beside the sofa and pray for God to give it to us. And we didn't know how to get it. And he set out to find somebody, and finally he located a company. And on it went. 12 days before the deadline, we didn't have but 1.2 million. Had to have 2.5 million. Russell Anderson already given 300,000. Same thing he's giving this morning in the offering. Adam. Then I remembered, and I thought of this last week. College students, you don't understand this. I held in my hand over 100 wedding bands. One day, that ladies had taken off their fingers and put in the collection plate and said, I don't have any money to give.
but take it and set it. You don't understand what you're built on here. And I remembered the financial burdens of the years. And then one of the first couples called off. Last Friday night, you don't know all of this. That's one reason why my praisers about praised out. The lady came by who several years ago her husband is in school, wanted to serve God full time. But she didn't know that there's a God. She couldn't understand there was a God, and she couldn't understand the Bible being true. And she couldn't understand, couldn't believe she could be saved. And her husband came and said, "Preacher, I want to serve God full time, but my wife's not even sure she believes in God or believes the Bible." And I said, "Send her in." And I met with her almost every week for months and tried to give her assurance that there's a God in the Bible. So, and now she's a member of the Foster Club. She went and sold herself. When they walked across the platform, I wanted to have a fit. I would have if all these fellas hadn't had dresses on up here. I want you to notice the only guy that dressed like a man on the platform. I want you to notice that. But, and then across the platform came a little lady and her husband. He graduated. And I remember the years that she was a little bitter against him. She wasn't willing to be a submissive wife. She wasn't willing to take the lonely hours that she had to take, and it wasn't easy for her. I remember how she came to my office, and I'd talk to her and sometimes scold her and then sometimes get mad at her. And she at least wouldn't get mad. She'd think as mad. She'd get mad at me. And then one blessed day, it snapped, and she got it. And she decided to live with that guy. And she came to my office one day. She looked 10 years younger. And she was so pretty. And she had a smile across her face. And she said, "I learned what you mean." I'll tell you what. I wanted to hug her when she came by. In fact, there's several I wanted to hug. But honestly, if it had been a way to hug, a holy hug, and get by with it, I'd have done it. I mean, I was as proud of her as any parent was of a child. And now she's happy, and he's happy, and she's sweet and Christian and submissive. And then a little lady came by, and she got here, and she'd been sick, and she'd taken some narcotics, and she got hooked on the narcotics, and she came to my office almost a vegetable, one of the sweetest ladies you ever saw, almost a vegetable. And she said, "I've got to have it." And I remembered how I met with her and how I got somebody every day to go and spend several hours with her house every day. And they read the Bible and just kept on reading and kept on reading and kept on praying for God to your victory that day. And days became weeks and weeks became months and months became many. And finally one day, bless God, she was delivered from it. She's sitting here this morning, one of the finest ladies in this church. And she has no idea how proud of her I am and how proud I was Friday night. And then, wish Dr. Evans heard you hear this, but Miss Stevens, you understand this? One little girl came by and she whispered as she got her degree, with our graduate, she said, "Thank you for preacher's loan." "That doesn't mean a thing to you. Not a thing. But the little handful of girls that I resolved to get through school, and I said, they're going to make it. And they're going to make it. And they didn't have a dime." She was one of them. She said, "Thank you for preacher's loan. That doesn't mean a thing to you." And then as I looked and saw the clean, sweet, precious, lovely young ladies, and those young men who carry with them the hope of this country, that's what we did last Friday. I mean, back yonder, when we were younger, we set out to devour the spoil. And then, thank God, it's toward the evening time for many of us now. But thank God for the joy of dividing the spoil. Folks, listen to me.
I'm old enough now to say it to you. You're going to want to be happy when you get old, too. I dare you to find anybody happier than I am. I dare you. I dare you to find anybody. Somebody's in the house. You ever get depressed? Oh, yeah, I got depressed back in 1932. I was 6 years old. No, I don't get depressed. You ever get blue and down the dumps? Oh, uh-uh. Say, why? I'll tell you why. I've been hunting. And now that I'm not young anymore, I'm enjoying dividing the spoil. Kids, young people, I wish you'd listen to me. Look, you're going to get 55 someday. There'll be a day when your face won't be as smooth and complexion won't be as beautiful as it is today. There'll be a day when the hair won't come down to your back, and there could be a day if you're a boy when it won't come down at all. And there'll be a day when you won't have the excitement and thrill of youth. There'll be a day when it's not all laughter and joy and fun and games. There'll be a day when you get older, you're going to wish then you'd have given your youth to God. Enjoy dividing the spoil. I thought of this verse. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. I'm not young anymore, but years ago I set out on a hunt. And I made some mistakes, and I know I have, but I've worked hard. I have. I've worked awfully hard. And I sometimes wonder what would happen if I had a stroke or something. I sometimes wonder if I shouldn't have a few $100,000 or a few tens laid away for a rainy day. I sometimes wonder, as I look back over my life, if I made the right choices. I wonder sometimes. I'll be honest, I have my doubts. I wonder sometimes about the priorities. I wonder sometimes about the nights in motel rooms. I wonder sometimes when I think of the kids growing up. I wonder. And then I said, as I sat last Thursday night at a national convention with 6,000 people present at a Coliseum in Denton, Texas. And I sat back up in the back. I was the closing speaker. I sat back up in the back and heard our son bring the first message. And then I stopped to think that Becky, Linda, and Cindy are all married to fine young men and preachers. And then Hiles Anderson College and High City Baptist High School and Hammond Baptist High School and then Hammond Baptist Junior High School. And then I think if I had 10,000 lives to live, I'd spend them all hunting. I'd spend them all hunting. Forget yourself. Oh, forget yourself. Me, we, ours, us, mine. That's okay while you're young, but that won't do when you get old. I get off the airplane in cities across America. And there's one of my converts, my preacher boys, or maybe several of them with peanut butter cups. I stand up to speak across America, and folks get up and say, "That's our preacher." I was preaching out west of the Nine. 26 preachers were there. 14 of them were my boys. 26 pastors there. 14 of them my boys. You've heard me tell this again and again, but here's how I feel. Here's how I feel this morning. I'm going to close. But I think about the story I love to tell about the old man down in Durham, North Carolina. He was 88 years old. He's sitting out back in the back row, the auditorium one morning. I was preaching. He had on a shirt, sort of like a Hawaiian shirt. And he didn't roll his sleeves like I roll my short sleeves up. He had them down like this, and sticking out were little arms about that big, like broom sticks sticking out of his sleeve. Didn't have a mighty powerful arm like that. And don't be afraid. I'm your friend. Little old arm sticking out, 88 years old. I didn't know who he was at the time. But notice that set man. He looked like his whole face looked like a peach that had shriveled up in the summer sun off the tree. His arms were flabby and hanging down, but little bitty arms. And I preached that morning that sermon I used to preach a lot on Psalm 1, Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, thou madest him to have him in the work of thy hands, and on and on. So that fellow started wiggling back in the back. I preached on the importance of man, how important the individual man is to God. While I was preaching, a little guy started wearing his trousers out on the seat back in the back. And I finished preaching, and that man, old man, stood up, and he said, "Hey, Dr. Brother Hiles, could I speak a word?" And normally, I wouldn't allow it, but I somehow felt like he had a word to speak. The old man stepped about three pews down the center aisle, and he started to speak with a squeaky voice. He said, "Brother Hiles, I've been preaching over 60 years. He said, "Brother Hiles, I've been looking forward to retiring. I preach so hard, I preach my voice away, as you can tell. But I didn't have a retirement plan." He said, "I've been getting a few, put a few pennies together, and some folks gave me a few dollars, and finally I got to where I could retire just a few months ago. And he said, I finally said, I'm going to go fishing and relax and take it easy for a while. I've preached over 60 years, that's enough." And he said, "But this morning," he said, "for these few months now, I've been fishing. But," he said, "this morning, Brother Hiles," he said, "fire of God's been burning in my soul again." And he said, "You made me realize again how important an old man can be to God. And just a few months ago, I retired, and I'm loafing and fishing." And then he took his old hand and shoved his sleeve up like that. Shoved his other up like that, made the broomsticks look longer. Looked like broomsticks had hinges in the middle. He raised his little old grape-like muscles like that and lifted one foot in the air and began to kick it. And he said, "Brother Hiles, this morning I'm re-enlisting." And that's the way I feel like. I feel like saying, "I've seen the spoil. I've watched them walk across the platform, hundreds of them. And I'm not going to sing, 'It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.' I'm going to sing, 'It's worth it all right now. It's worth it all right now.' If I had 10,000 lives to live and 10,000 youth to live again, if I could be young again as a 19-year-old fella, licensed to preach, and as a 21-year-old fella, ordained and pastoring a church, had the whole youth to live over again, knowing what I know now, I'd just go hunting. And I'd hunt the souls of men. And I'd hunt young people to serve God. So that the next time I get 55, I can enjoy dividing the spoil. Look at me and I'm through. Folks, I'm not preaching. I'm not just preaching. As sure as God be God and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, what I'm saying this morning is the God's truth. It's true! It's true! Live your life for pleasure! Live your life your own way! Make a big lot of money and make that the big part and go ahead and live your life for yourself! Go ahead! But when you get 55, or go hunting for the souls of men, and then get 55 and divide the spoil. And so this morning, moms and dads, Sunday school teachers and youth workers and school teachers and administrators and all of us who've had a part, let's rejoice together as those of us who've placed just a little bit in each life. Let's rejoice together. And if we divide the spoil. The John Vapper said the other night to me, he said, "I'll never forget my Sunday school teachers." And then he wrote me a letter and he listed every one of them. Since he was a little child. Every one of them. The other day he said, "I'll never forget Brother Bob Bays. Brother Bob Bays." And so, let's not forget the joy of dividing the spoil. Now, Brother B.R. Lakin told the story at the Civic Center, funniest thing I ever heard, about the old gal down west, old hillbilly gal in the hills of West Virginia. She and her husband had 11 kids. And one of them, youngest one, got out and worked on the street out there and got a bunch of tar. And one of her kids, the youngest kid, got out there and got tar all over. She came back in, and the mama looked at all that tar, and she said to her husband, she said, "You know what? I believe it'd be easier to have another than to clean this one up." Praise the Lord. Well, we got a bunch of them we need clean up, but we got a bunch of clean ones too. But I'm ready to just go ahead and have a bunch of others, what do you say? Let's go hunting again. Father, thank you for this.